Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. We praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. As you can see on the photo above me, in the Old Testament, during the days of deliverance, for 400 years, the Israelites were in bondage to their slave master, Pharaoh. He was a type of Satan in the Old Testament. And they cried and cried and cried and cried for a deliverer. Finally, God raised up Moses. And Moses had to show off God's power because it was God who delivered the Israelites. But there were 10 plagues total, and many of them still hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This is how slew food is today. He's a stubborn foe. He will not give up on harassing your life. No differently. The way Pharaoh came after the Israelites is no different than how Satan will come after our life. And for those who are not saved, he wants to keep them unsaved. But for those of us who are walking in faith, who have been born again, he comes to buffet us every now and then, every season. There's a season where we go through, and God allows it, though. Why? It's a time of testing. And the Israelites were tested for 400 years. Do they really want to be delivered? See, God already knew the future. He already knew their life once he delivered them. And he saw already, even when they were delivered from bondage, how they still murmured and complained. And some of us still murmur and complain after we've been saved. Amen. Nothing has changed in 4,000 years. But I need you to see this photo up here, because the 10th plague was the plague that was going to finally solidify the deliverance. So God told Moses to get a lamb and to sacrifice that lamb and to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel above. Now, when you see the two sides of the top, it makes the sign of a cross. So we can see how this correlated with the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the death angel came during this time, God told Moses that the death angel will see the blood and will pass over them. That's why the Jews call it Passover, because the death angel passed over their home. And the firstborn wasn't touched. But all the firstborn of Egypt, their male firstborn, died immediately, and it was a sign of judgment to them. And so in the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, he let them go. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? It didn't end there. After a while, his heart got hardened again, and he came after them. That's another story for another time. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8, and then we're going to correlate. We're going to look at this Passover festival, because it's celebrated by our Jewish friends every year. But what they fail to see, they cannot see Jesus in the Passover, because the Bible says that their eyes are still spiritually blind. All they see is religion. All they see is tradition. But they don't see Christ in it. We see Christ in it. We're going to show you through Scripture how we see Christ in it. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 7 through 8. If you don't have your Bibles, they'll be right up here on the screen. Let's go. Now it reads, therefore, verse 7, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, look at this, our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Oh, wow. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He said, let us keep the feast. You got to remember, the feast don't belong to the Jews. The feast don't belong to us. Who do they belong to? The Lord. The Lord. And so he says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He was the Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So when John the Baptist, his primo, his cousin, saw John the Baptist coming, he knew right away, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And so, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, come humbly yet boldly to the throne room of grace, and God will have salvation for those who will surrender their life to him. Now, I want you to catch this right up here. This past Friday through Saturday sundown, April 16th, 17th, all around the world, Passover feast is celebrated around the world. On the biblical calendar, it is Nisan 14:15. Why is it 14:15? Because their days are different from ours. They start their new day when the sun sets. We start our new day when the sun rises. So it's give or take on those 2 days, 5782. It's when Jesus was crucified, died, was buried in his tomb, but even more profound is today, Sunday, April 7th. How many believe today's April 17th? I believe last time I checked, it was. He rose again. Jesus rose again. Come on, come on. Someone give God praise. Jesus rose again. And that's why we're here today. Amen. We're here because Jesus rose again. So now we got to look into the scripture to solidify. We just read that he's our Passover sacrifice. We just read that Paul said, keep the feast. We didn't do away with it. But for us Gentile Christians, we're not to fall into the religiosity of how the Jews keep it. It's all tradition. We observe it and we say, God, we bless you this day because you died on this special festival. Amen. So let's look at John right here, John 19. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover. So this is Jesus now. Remember when we take communion, he said, I'm going to do something new. I'm gonna die for the sins of the world. He's going to make a new covenant. Well, it was the day before Passover when he gathered his disciples. But now, let's read, the day has come. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus away and led him away that day. Okay, as they were going through the rituals on Passover. Look at this in John 19, 17. And he, bearing the cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull. Remember we talked about that? We saw Golgotha last week, which in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. We talked about the two thieves. We're not going to go back there, but if you were here last week, we talked about the two thieves. Now, let's move on to John 19, 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, what day was that? Passover. That the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So, why did they do that? Crucifixion was one of the slowest, torturous deaths that the Romans conjured up. And so they hung on a cross, and the way they died is they suffocated themselves because their lungs would slowly collapse. But before the sun set, they would prod them to make sure that they were dead. If they were still alive, they would take these wooden, they looked like bats, and they would break the legs so that they would totally collapse and suffocate and die. They had to do that because of the tradition. It was very religious back then. Now, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead. You know why? They didn't have to break his legs. He said, Father, my spirit unto thee, I give it to thee. He gave up his spirit all by himself. Can I get an amen? He didn't even want to break his legs. Matter of fact, the Bible says he laid down his life willingly for us. See, we think that, oh man, he was apprehended. It was unjust. Yes, 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 unjust. It was a night court, illegal court. But he purposely did it for us. There was no other way. Because if they had a day court, they would find him faultless. But because it was illegal night court, they threw all the charges and they made it stick. And they were all lies. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The blood is what takes away our sins. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. It was the blood of Jesus. So in a nutshell, us born-again believers who are heaven-bound, what took place with us? Number one, God quickened us and allowed us to come to him by faith. He allowed us to repent. Once a soul repents, now the blood can be applied. And then the blood comes and washes away the original sin from Adam. Now the Holy Ghost can come in and reside because that vessel has been washed in the blood. Until that vessel is washed in the blood, God will not put his spirit in him because he cannot be together with anything that's unclean. So the vessel has to be washed in the blood. And this is why the blood came out with water. It was a sign. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing these songs. But we're seeing here why we sing these songs. It's because it was the pierced side and the whippings. Did you know that they had to take these coattail claws of laser blade that tore his back? His back was shredded openly. And all that blood and the pierced side is what takes away our sins. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on. Yeah. Amen, amen. Now look at this. It goes further. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in its strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews. The preparation day for the tomb was nearby. So I need you to catch this right up here. If you can see this, listen, if it's not close enough, when you get home, you could always roll this back and then make it bigger on your phone to really take a closer look at this. But these are the seven feasts of the Lord that prophetically Jesus fulfilled the first four. He fulfilled the first four. Now, the last three in the fall, look out, because the next greatest event that the world is going to see is the rapture of the church when Jesus comes for his bride and takes us out of here. And we have clues in Corinthians and Thessalonians that it's during the last trump. Well, the Jews do a ceremonial service and they blow the trumpets 99 times, but the 100th one is called the last trump. And that's where we find it in Corinthians and Thessalonians. But right up here, as you can see, today is Nisan 14:15, which he rose again. How? It's not a coincidence at this time we're seeing this today. So now, then the next day is Feast of Unleavened Bread, and now he's buried in the tomb. Now you got to catch this. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become what? The righteousness of Christ by faith. So Jesus could not have had any sin to go into that tomb. Because if he died a sinner, guess what? You and I, we would be men and women most miserable. But because he had no sin, he was the sinless Savior, you and I can rejoice today. So he was buried in the tomb on that second day. The third day is the Feast of First Fruits. He rose again. He's the first to rise from the dead. Now, 50 days go by. As you can see up there, 50 days after First Fruits came the fourth feast, and it's called Pentecost. We read that in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in the upper room with one accord, and there came into the room as if a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole room, and they were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. It was a tongue of fire that came upon them. And boldness and power came upon them. That was the ecclesia of the church, meaning it was the birth of the church right at that moment. And for 2,000 years now, we're still in the church age. What does that mean? God is still saving. He's still saving. He's still saving. But there's going to be a curtain call real soon. Because Jesus gave us clues in Matthew 24. He said that the generation that will see these signs all converge together is going to be the generations that's going to see him coming back for his church. And what are they? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. How many felt that earthquake the other day? I was sitting down and woo. I said, honey, did you feel that? Uh-uh. Okay, I did. But there's earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, pestilences. We're still, 3 years into COVID. That's a pestilence. There's deceivers. There's people that will deceive you out there, right? Jesus said all these things that you'll see. Take heed. It's in other words, we're not to fear, but we are to look up, for our redemption draws near. These are a sign that he's coming back for his church. How many believe he's coming back for you? Amen. I hope you believe that. Because that's how he's going to come get his church. The angels are going to blow the shofar. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So I want you to just know this. All your loved ones that died in Christ, we will see them again. But here's the deal. They're going to go up first before you. And then we'll be caught up. Praise God. And so, saints, God spoke to Moses. Remember this guy? Huh? It's the only photo we have of Moses. The only one I found. He spoke to Moses regarding the Passover feast, as we've been sharing with you this morning. And remember, let my people go. Let my people go. So let's look back to see how this ties with our faith in Christ and what God has accomplished and how he's still going to fulfill those final three that we saw here up on that screen. So let's go to Exodus. Look at this. This is what God told Moses. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. So the 10th day is around this time frame now on the Hebrew calendar, not our Gregorian calendar. Our calendar is January through December. Theirs is totally different. Okay, but God looks and does prophetic things on his calendar, not our calendar. Our calendar came from Rome. And we all know Rome was a pagan nation, amen? But it stuck around the world, so we're using it. But God does supernatural things and appointed things on his Hebrew calendar. Now, it says, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. So he's instructing them, this is what we must do to be delivered from Egypt. So God was giving them a protocol. God was giving them instruction through Moses. This is what you got to do. In other words, faith without works is what? Dead. So if you can do these things I'm asking you to do, then watch your deliverance come. I said it like this one time. You know, maybe you're looking for a job and you're sitting by the phone in your bed waiting for that phone to ring. Well, how about getting up, going into these jobs and applying? And then come back and wait for the phone to ring. Can I get amen? It's not going to ring by osmosis. Can I get amen? So God is saying, do these things and watch what I'm going to do for you. Amen. And it's not works. It's walking in faith, believing God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Nisan, 14, 15 today. It's right here. We're reading in the scripture about this day that we are here in this building right now. This day. This is not coincidental. Look at this. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Look at verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled. These are things that they had to do in order to satisfy the will of God during this time. You shall not let none of the remain until the morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Look at this in verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's what? Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the little g's, all the gods of Egypt. So they had the god of frogs, the god of flies. They had everything. They worshiped everything that would move and that would not move. They were called the heathenistic nations, okay? And look at this. And I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Now look at this. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So let me just say this. The blood of Jesus that's been applied on your life, my life, death is going to pass over us. Because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave through the blood. See how it ties in? It's no different than the Old Testament was a type and a shadow. We were to see this, observe it, and say, okay, now God's going to do a new thing, but it's very similar. It's very similar. Now, I need you to catch this, because sometimes it goes over our heads as Gentiles. Okay. I don't think there's no one Jewish in here, is there? No, they're all at Temple Beth Shalom, where we came from. So we're Gentiles. Okay, believe it or not, this is how God looks at the world from the biblical lens. He doesn't see races. He sees Jews and Gentiles. We are Gentiles. Okay? And we're all mixed. We're white, we're black, Filipino, Guamanian, Samoan, Mexican, American, But in God's point of view, we're Gentiles. Okay? And that's not a bad word. It's just that by God's grace, through faith, he has grafted us in the Abrahamic covenant by faith. You see, salvation was just for the Jews. But at the cross, we read last week, right? We read it, that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and now everyone could come in and find grace. Hallelujah. And mercy. Hallelujah. Come on. Everyone. Jesus. So Jesus had to die on the cross so that we can get in. Because guess what? He had you and you and you and you in his mind as he carried that cross all the way to be crucified for us. That's the glory of God. Now, I need you to catch this in Leviticus. Look at this. In Leviticus 23:2, if you have the King James Version, it reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning, notice the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." Now, for Gentiles like you and I, what does convocation mean? I'm thinking it's a elementary recital when you go and watch your children perform somewhere. That's what comes to my mind. I don't know what comes to your mind. I didn't know what convocation meant. But in the Hebrew, it means something so profound. Now let's look at this. Let's break it down. The Hebrew word for feast, it's moed, meaning appointed times. It's not hometown buffet. It's not Golden Corral. It's not where you just go in, man, and you just keep filling them plates up until they kick you out. No, it's an appointed time. Now look, the Hebrew word for convocation is called mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. I need you to catch this now. So for thousands of years, our Jewish friends have been going through these feasts as tradition, ceremonial tradition. They had no clue that they were doing dress rehearsals for when Jesus would fulfill these feasts in thousands of years later. So that's what convocation means. It's mikra in the Hebrew, meaning a dress rehearsal. So I brought this to Rabbi's attention when we were at Temple Beth Shalom. And he looked at it, he goes, "Well, Reverend Fee, I still don't see Jesus in it." That's okay. But he was always downloading my messages. So I like to say it like this. I think he was a closet Christian. I don't know. That was just me. Now, the Passover lamb was to be the male without defect. All of the people must slaughter the Passover lamb. There is deliverance for those who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Nothing of the Passover lamb was to be left till the morning, as we've been reading in Exodus. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones. This is why we just read in John, they couldn't break his bones. Why? Because he was dead already. And so the same regulations apply to Gentiles and to Jewish people. Now, we're going to look at this for a moment. Let's go back up here. We're going to look at the parallels of the Passover and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're going to look at them side by side. We're going to see what they don't see, what God has revealed to us in the time that we live in. See, all this was a mystery. And you know what the word mystery means? All it means is there are people that God has revealed it to. Not all, but to those he wanted to reveal to. And that's us, praise God. How many are so blessed to know that he's revealed these things to us? So let's look at this. Number one, as Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so mankind or man is a slave to sin. So the bondage that they were bound to in our day and time We're bound, before we come into the saving knowledge of Christ, we're bound to sin as a slave. And so for 430 years, the Hebrew people served the Egyptians. They had no choice. Every day they made bricks, built pyramids, served their masters. If they disobeyed, they were beaten. If they rebelled, they were killed. Such is life of a slave during that time. And how many of us escaped death before we got saved? And how many of us know people who unfortunately died in their sin because they were still a slave to Satan? But God's had great mercy on us. Can I get an amen? Look at number two. Each of us was born into this world as a slave to sin. So when we are birthed out of our mother's womb, the Bible says we have the sin of Adam reigning in our being. This is why you have to train up your children. You have to teach them mannerisms. You got to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord as a believer. Why? Because if you don't instill these things in your child, they will grow up to be rebels without a cause. Many of them will end up in prison. Many of them will. Why? Because of the sinful nature. It has to be under subjection. There has to be authority, especially when it's a child that you're dealing with. Because once you implement these things that are good and holy and righteous, they will understand that this is the right thing to do and not the opposite. But what Satan has done in the times that we live in now, one of the key elements to this that I'm saying, right, talking about, is in a lot of households, he has removed the priest out of the home, meaning he has removed the father out of the home. And that's an intricate part. I did a beautiful wedding yesterday. You guys all know Brother Eric Agwan. That's his pops right there on that picture. And his daughter finally said, "I do." And we were out there in Coronado Bay, and I was getting ready for the ceremony. I got a glimpse that we are the bride, and he's coming for us. He's coming for us soon. And so it was a joy and honor to officiate the wedding. But I was reminded again that he's coming back for his bride. And so each of us were born into this world as a slave to sin. And where do we find that at? In the book of Romans. Look at this in the book of Romans. "Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men." This was Adam who sinned in the garden. Once he sinned, sin was passed on to you and I almost 6,000 years later. We still have the Adamic nature. This is why we still live to a certain amount of years and then we go back to the dust. This is why we still have diseases in our bodies that we're crying out to God to heal. Why? Because we still live in this body. But when we get the new body, God is going to free us from all that. Can I get amen? How many can't wait for that new body? Oh, yes. So when we read God's word, we identify those who were in Egypt no differently, but now we got our spiritual lenses on, our glasses on, and we can see it's not no more physical, but it's spiritual. And we need to be born again. Look at this. "Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." So Jesus had to come and do the righteous thing. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." And you can count yourself in that number. Can I get amen? Because Jesus came to the cross for us. See, it was the great exchange. He went away so that the Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit would come. And when a person repents, they give their heart of stone to him. And then the great exchange, he gives you a heart of flesh and he writes his laws on your heart, no longer on a piece of paper. It comes birth in your heart. Look at this in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin entered into death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, someone give God a shout of praise. It was Jesus that did this for us. This is why when you wake up every morning, your praise to God, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Despite of what you're going through, many of us are facing difficult situations in life, things that you would have never thought you would experience. But every day he raises us up from that bed, we need to get up and say, thank you, God. Amen. We love you, Jesus. I love you, God. Amen. Despite of the situation, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to magnify you. And so further in Romans, this is what Paul wrote. Look at this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, look at this, whom God sent forth as a propitiation. That means a substitute. In other words, it had to be his blood that could only take away our sin. By his blood through faith to demonstrate the righteousness, because in his forbearance, meaning his foreknowledge, meaning knowing that he knows the beginning and the end of our lives. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So he saw our birth. He saw when we were going to close our eyes here on earth. And so he says this to demonstrate, because in his forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. I need you to catch that for a moment. Before we came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us did some atrocious things. Things that we won't even speak about today. Things that you wouldn't even want to tell your old spouse, your son, you don't want to tell nobody. But guess what? They did take place, didn't they? So what God is saying here, once we got saved, he passed over our transgressions and he remembers them no more. Hallelujah. Come on. Listen, only God can do that. Listen, you and I, we will always find fault with one another because of our nature. It's easy for us to point out all the faults in a person's life. Stick around them for an hour, you'll find 20 of them. But that's not how God operates. God, I need you to know this. God looks at you as his most highly created being on this planet. And he did not make a mistake when he created you. You are perfectly, wonderfully, meticulously made by him. And there is no fault in his eyes about you. Can I get amen? Oh, we can look at each other and say, man, I don't know about you. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Here's my rebuttal. Keep your thoughts to yourself, okay? Leave it as that. Because we have nothing but ungodly thoughts. I'm sorry. That's just the way. Because we still have that Adamic nature. But for those who are saved, we got the Holy Ghost. That, guess what the Holy Ghost does? It bridles our tongue. It bridles our tongue, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, don't say that. Thank God for the Spirit of God. But I asked this question right up here. Why can't we simply just stop sinning? You ever ask yourself that? Have you ever got on a diet only to get off it again? Oh, I've been there, done that. Especially when January 1st rolls around. Praise God, man. I'm out there. And I'm off it the next day. More importantly, have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed? We can't stop sinning because by nature, we are slaves to sin. This is why we need the power of God in our life. See, when we have the power of God, we can become what's called overcomers. You see, religion and churches, they made it basically a rules of do's and don'ts. And they'll point them out to you. Do's, don'ts, this is what we do here, this is what you don't do, blah, blah, blah. And for a brand new Christian, that's a hard pill to swallow. It takes God's grace. It takes his mercy that we would walk in faith to allow him to sanctify us. Because it doesn't come overnight. Can I get amen? Look at this. Look what Paul wrote to the Romans right here. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, say that with me, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end of everlasting life. This is where the story gets good for us, huh? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has given us the gift of life. How many of you, just real quickly in a show of hands, how many of you want eternal life? Okay, great. Some of you just want to say, well, whatever. And those of you on Facebook and YouTube, yeah, whatever. But there's going to be a day of reckoning. When God says, your soul today is required of me. When that day comes, it's a day that only God knows that day for that person. We can't put a time clock on that. I would never try. That's only God to determine, amen? But I like to say it like this. If you have a car, please have insurance on it. You never know when the other guy will hit you. Can I get amen? And if you don't have insurance, oh well, it gets towed off and you're done. Well, don't leave earth without fire insurance. Can I get amen? Look at this, number four. Just as the Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot simply leave our sin. We can't. We need something, someone to help us. Can I get amen? The Hebrews needed God to deliver them, and we need God to deliver us from sin. As the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. It all comes to all men. Look what Paul wrote here. Yes, in 2 Corinthians, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Look at that. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will deliver us forevermore. How many are so blessed to know that we will not, those of us who are born again, will not see death, hell, or the grave? Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Right up here. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. We saw that, right? We saw that. We read that. It was the death angel that passed over the Israelites and all the firstborn, and even the animals firstborn died because they didn't have the blood covering their home. But look what Hebrews says. This is in the New Testament. It says this, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Wow. Isn't that something? Huh? Isn't that something that we have the assurance in Christ? This is why this Passover festival is so key to understand. that there was a history to this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Day. It ties in together like a glove. Look at this, saints. 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the coming of God. Isn't that something? And this was, remember when Mary was pregnant, she went to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant at the time. And as soon as she got close, John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's womb, started jumping up. And he's the only child in the womb on record biblically that was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. For us, we come out of the womb and we're little rebels. Can I get amen? I was a knucklehead till 30. Oh, that's right, I was. And for some of you, we're knuckleheads for a long time until God got your attention, huh? And then he showed you mercy. But John the Baptist saw, look at this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Praise God." Now look at this. "As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Christ saves us." It ties together, doesn't it? It's coming together. For some of you, you're going, okay, I get it now. I see it. I see it, God. I see it. Look at 1 John says right here. Look at this. 1 John, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Wow, that's very clear. So we all know, and we can't judge no one. They're going to do what they're going to do. Amen? And we pray, oh God, help me to just keep praying and don't let me judge. Can I get amen? Because Jesus said, if you judge, the same judgment will be upon you. And so you just pray. Say, oh God, mercy, 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 God. Because God knows where they're at. And he's probably allowing that person to go through something because he's maybe wanting to teach that person something. But we want lightning to strike on their head. And God says, slow your roll. I created them. I'll deal with them. You keep on praising me. Remember the prodigal son? Who was the one that complained? It was the other brother that didn't rebel. He goes, that's not fair. You threw my brother a big, huge party. You never threw one for me. He said, you've always been here with me. But he was lost, and now he is found. Hallelujah. So this is why we can't. So if someone leaves the fold or someone goes out and bashes, don't bash them. Let God deal with them. Why? Because he loves them. Can I get amen? And there are some things we got to learn from God and God alone. If we try to learn it from man, man's teachings is going to fail us. But God's teaching will go into eternity. Can I get amen? Amen? Praise God. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Praise God. "And we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. And then the truth is not in us." See, it becomes personal. God will let you judge your own heart. He'll show you your own error. We don't have to point no one's out, right? Who are we to point out someone's sin? Shame on us if we do. Why? Because I remember people were pointing out my sin before I got saved. I wanted to punch them in the nose. But God got a hold of me. He got a hold of me all by himself, and he did a good job with me. And he's done a great job with you. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, it all comes to personal choice. It's all about what God is doing in your life, what he's doing in my life. Amen. So saints, in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill that animal to cover their nakedness. Something had to die and shed blood for the sin that was committed against God. And so as we look at this, for also Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. I need you to catch this for a quick moment. We're just going to touch this and move on. But this is where you see the first sacrifice where blood had to be shed. God had to kill this animal to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness, because once they bit the apple, sin entered into the world. And everything became basically sinful in the world. This is why Jesus has to come and renovate the world. But for how many years, we don't really can put a time frame on it, they were enjoying themselves naked to one another until they bit the apple. And once they bit the apple, they saw that they were naked. And they hid themselves, not only from each other, but they hid themselves from God. Because God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day and fellowship with them. So God had to slay that animal to cover them. Look, God was at work for mankind, even in the garden. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't give up on us? 6,000 years later? And so, when that took place, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to the ground from which was taken. So he drove them out. So here's the good news. He's bringing us back in to the garden when he comes for his church. Aren't you so blessed? We're going to get to see paradise. We're going to get to see what Adam and Eve didn't see once it was taken from them. And God's going to show us why Christ came for us. Because that's how it was supposed to be from the very beginning. But this is why God is beyond our humanistic little pea brain mind of ours. The Bible says his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are greater than ours. Because he's always for us. He's never against us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look what Hebrews says, and we're coming in for a close. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness. So this is what we're looking at today during this Passover weekend and this Resurrection Sunday. It was the blood that washed away our sins. Oh, that's right. God used animal sacrifices in the Old Testament for a specific purpose. So if he used blood then, he used it in the New Testament. Can I get amen? Amen. Look, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So Old Testament, temporary. New Testament, permanent. Jesus did it once and for all. Praise God. Praise God. And he clarifies it right here in Hebrews. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. It was prepared for us, Jesus, to die, to be risen again. Look at this. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. So what he's saying here, all the Jews throughout those thousands of years used to drag those bulls. Those bulls smelled that blood at the altar. They weren't going nowhere. They knew they were going to die. The animals know when they're going to die. And they had to drag him to that altar. And it was only a temporary covering. And they dreaded that. Just imagine if we had to still do that. Bring turtle doves and goats and bulls to the altar. These Levites did it for thousands of years. Look at this. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. What did Jesus say? What did Paul wrote about Jesus? From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. He's the volume of the book. Jesus came to fulfill what the devil intended to do to us. God reversed it. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. God reversed it. Look at this. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. So it was the Levitical law that required the shedding. But look at this. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, meaning Jesus was the second Adam to come. And by that you will have been sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Once and for all. Once and for all, it was done. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. You see, back then, those folks back then, they were looking for everything to take away their sin. And yet, the promise came. Just like, I need you to catch this, 430 years, the Israelites were in bondage, crying out for a deliverer. Moses finally came, right? Mankind was crying out for a deliverance from sin. And Jesus came. He came once and for all. Look at this, right? It says, right, look at, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we're saved. It was the perfect Lamb of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God. And by faith, we've been saved through grace. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to move quickly, and then we're going to close. I want us to look at this for a moment, right up here. Well, Hebrews says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he destroyed the firstborn, should touch them. And by faith, we have received Christ. So it's by faith. Aren't you so blessed? It's not going home and reading your Bible 100 times and come back. Like, you need to take a test now. Oh, I'm sorry, you missed a few verses. You got to go back and do it again. No, we come to Christ by faith. Oh, God, I'm so wretched. I'm a sinner, God. Help me. Help me, God. That's all we need is say, God, help me. You don't have to know the Bible from the beginning to the end. He's just saying, come to me, all ye that are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. I will deliver you from your dilemma. I will bring your wayward kids back. I will bring your relationships back and be restored. Can I get amen? I will heal your bodies from sickness and diseases. Hallelujah. We got to believe if God did it for them, he will do it for us. Can I get amen? Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. God changes not. We change through the culture. We change through times and seasons. But God is steadfast. Can I get amen? He's immovable. You cannot move God out of the way. God's going to have his perfect way and his perfect will for us. And some of you are here today and watching. And maybe you never surrendered your heart to Jesus. I'm here to let you know that he's coming again. He's coming again. We read. Don't let that day come and surprise you. Because he's not going to come like, boo, I'm the boogeyman. No, we're going to be gone. And once we're gone, this whole world is going to go into chaos. And I truly believe when we're gone, that's when the Antichrist will rise up, because they're going to need a leader. Because this whole world, all the Christians are going to be gone. Right now, it's gearing up to that one world government, isn't it? It's headed there. It's headed there. And we don't have time to go into the culture. But in Luke, we're going to finish off in Luke. Look at this. In Luke, then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, and they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at this. In verse 46, then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance..." Notice that comes first, and then remission, forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And look at this, "And you are witnesses of all these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are filled with power from on high." That happened on the day of Pentecost. We saw the chart, 2,000 years. And 2,000 years later, the Holy Ghost is still being poured out to those who cry out to him, those who need him. And so I'm going to ask everyone to stand, because I know you have wonderful families to be with today. This is why we didn't have no fellowship today. We want to just have you spend your whole day with your family. Some of you have picnics going on and all that. But next week, don't forget, we got another lunch here. And someone loved that beef machado we made last week. Oh, I see that hand back there. I'm not going to point that person out. We'll make some more, so come back. But I'm here to let us know that God loves you. On this day, he rose again. How ironic it landed during the Passover feast. Very rare that the two calendars collide. And so I want us to come before God right now. And if you're here today, by the way, Friday night, we had Good Friday night here. Man, the Holy Ghost was moving in our midst. There was words of prophecy given. People were just praying and worshiping God. The presence of God here was so strong. We didn't get to live stream that because we didn't have something on our website to do that. So thank you for those who came out. We were so blessed. But today you're here. And I'm going to ask those who are watching by faith, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your moment. Maybe you're here today, never surrendered your life. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about taking a step of faith and say, "God, I want you. I believe you died for me. I believe the blood you shed on the cross will cleanse me from my sins. I believe that you are the only one that could give me eternal life." And if that's you, I'm going to ask us to pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. How many believe that God is still doing miracles today? Oh, that's right. And how many of you can honestly say he's done a miracle in my life? 33 years ago, I'm still saying, "God, if you can save me, you can save anybody, God." Oh, that's right. Because there's nothing too hard for God. Can I get amen? Nothing, nothing too hard for God. So we're going to ask that you would pray this prayer by faith. And listen, if this is your first time truly saying, "God, I need you," it's by faith. Invite him into your heart. and let his spirit come right now. Before I pray, I'm just going to lift up my hands to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that your presence come down now, God, upon your people. And Lord, those right now that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, oh God. Lord, those who want to be delivered out of darkness into your marvelous light. Those who have come by faith that want to change in their life, oh God. Lord, they've been going one direction. God, you want to now move them to a new direction, a new place with you, that you would give them joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, I pray for healing for this body. I pray, Lord God, that you would help them in their finances, in their relationships, in their bodies. Heal them, oh God. Lord, deliver them, oh God. Those who are caught up in addictions, Lord, set them free. Jesus, you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh God, help us with our struggles of life. Help us, oh God, be overcomers, because we know you are the soon coming King. And we want to see you face to face. We want to see you, Jesus, the God who created us. And so I'm going to ask this beautiful family here at Amazing Grace to pray with me, that we would pray for you, that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I have sinned. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and your precious blood that was spilt on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart now. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy? Amen, amen. Woo, saints of God, I am so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm so blessed for each and every one.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.